This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live. You can join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And you know, earlier we talked about NPR and Twitter and social media and censorship, and it's true. Free Talk Live has our own social media server. You can find it at social.freetalklive.com. If you're sick and tired of having to watch what you say because you're worried about getting banned or suspended or having your accounts deleted or whatever, join our social media server. Someone at our video chat over on Odyssey has said that, you know, we know all about censoring people. I legit don't know what they're talking about because we don't censor anyone. I mean, not on our social media server, not on our chat server.
Sounds like one of those YouTuber weird commenters who say stupid stuff like, oh, they scam people with Bitcoin when no one ever did.
We delete content when it gets brought to our attention that may be illegal, right? I'm not trying to go to prison because someone else wants to abuse the free speech to post things that aren't speech. However, you're free to say whatever you want. And we regularly get reports of people being accused of being transphobic or racist or fascist mouthpieces or propagandists or whatever, and just click the mark as resolved button, which just resolves it without doing anything, and we carry on with our day. I've done dozens of these from people persistently being called transphobic, and they're not transphobic. And even if they are, who cares? You have the right to say transphobic things, even if I disagree with you. And I do disagree with you. I don't think you should be racist or transphobic or sexist or any of these other discriminatory words. However, you have the right to be, if that's what you want. I have the right to not associate with you, and I will not associate with you. However, I'm not going to inhibit your ability to say these racist or transphobic things just because I disagree with you. And I think we need more of that in the world because it's true. You can't say a lot of things on Twitter or Facebook. And I want the racists to be able to make themselves known, right?
Yeah, and also to be able to get it out. Like for some things like sexual deviancy, those people need an outlet or else it's going to turn into something a lot worse.
Absolutely. But if like one of the restaurants that I went to, this little Danish place, is it Danish? Belgium place today for lunch called Fritz here in Keene. And the owner is a tremendously nice guy, and I'm just using them as an example. But if he was racist or transphobic, I would want to know that. If this person is harboring ill will toward trans people or black people or whoever, I would want to know so I could take my business elsewhere, especially if he was putting this in action in some sort of policy where, like, he wouldn't hire black people or he wouldn't hire trans people or whatever. I would want to take my business elsewhere. So let people speak their opinions out in the open so that we can take our business elsewhere. That's my position. Of course, the guy at Fritz is absolutely not racist or transphobic. He's a wonderful guy. He's actually been more and more on the side of freedom these days in regard to the masks and all the other overreaches of the Keene government here in New Hampshire. So kudos to him for that, but let's go to the phones. We do have, let me make sure I hit the right button here, because I don't usually use the actual physical buttons, but I've got to work on that. We have El Conejo on the line. El Conejo, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi there. I just wanted to offer a very simple and concise way to look at liberty and the definition of the non-aggression principle.
Sure, go ahead.
So... the non-aggression principle just basically states that no one has the right to initiate force or fraud against other people. So basically everything else is a right.
Right. I totally agree.
And a lot of people say there's no objective morality or objective ethics, but I would say that is the very basic level of objective morality or ethics.
Well, it's still not objective, but, you know, I disagree with a lot of people on that. I don't think it's a bad thing that it's subjective, right?
It's I think it's objective because you can tell that it's bad because of when it affects you negatively, you know that. Like, when somebody steals from you, you know that.
That's usually wrong. True, but it's not universally true.
I mean, people with mental illnesses notwithstanding. Like, people who, like, well, I like being hit and spit on and, like, stabbed.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
those people probably exist, but I don't think it negates the average person.
Yeah, but if it's just based on the average, then it's just majority opinion and it's not objective.
But I would say that there's something actually wrong with that person and it could get fixed. I don't think that it's
normal.
But
maybe they're the correct ones and it's the 99.99% who are wrong.
It's not about voting. It's about
right.
the fact that this person doesn't know what's good for them.
Right,
so it's being stabbed good for them objectively? No.
No, they're saying the same thing about you.
I don't like that, though.
They're saying the same thing about you. You don't know what's best for you.
I'm not being stabbed. Like, if we're talking about an action.
Maybe they think it's best for you to be stabbed.
Well, then they're wrong. They're objectively wrong.
They're saying you're objectively wrong.
Well, it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what is objectively true.
But it's not objectively true. It's
subjectively true. It is objectively true. It's not subjectively true.
But
it's not. I don't think
it is. We just have to agree to disagree on this.
Because you learn this when you're a little tiny baby, that it hurts to get hurt by something, and that's how you know that it's wrong to do to someone else.
That's still a subjective statement.
It's not.
We just have to agree to disagree. Anything else, El Conejo?
But more to his point, I think it's important to note that you don't need to have your rights written down by anyone. That's why you don't need the government to protect them. That's why I said it's a right for me to set this coffee cup down, but I don't need someone to write it down because I don't need someone to write down every single thing that I could do that's not wrong.
Yeah, it's redundant. It just keeps, you know, saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, so whether the non-aggression principle is objective or subjective is actually sort of irrelevant to the thing. It's the bare minimum way that we should treat one another. And it's true that, you know, not pushing someone out of the way of an oncoming car may not be morally wrong or whatever. Well, I didn't kill them. I didn't commit aggression. I just watched the car run over them. Okay, sure. But it's not a guideline for morality, the non-aggression principle. That's not like the end-all be-all of what is right and what is wrong.
I agree, because in that case, you thinking that you're owed someone else possibly putting themselves in danger to save you isn't true.
So I just thought of an example to kind of explore the subjective versus objective ethics. A lot of vegan people would say that it is ethically, you know, it's immoral, it's unethical to kill an animal or to eat an animal, but a lot of people would disagree with that.
Well, I'd say there's no way to know what the animal wants.
I mean, I don't know, I would think that it would want to not die.
Well, you would think that, but there would be people who might want you to kill them, and it wouldn't be wrong to kill them, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
And you don't have a way to communicate that with an animal.
So how do we get to the bottom of what's ethical and what's unethical? Just because I don't know what somebody wants doesn't mean it's...
You should have someone's permission to do something.
So how do you get the permission from the cow?
Well,
I just don't think it's
I would say you
inherently...
don't have a way to get the permission or get them to tell you that they don't want it.
So we're just going to assume that it's okay to kill it then?
I think that you should assume that
that
it doesn't want pain, but you can't really assume that it doesn't want to die.
Why can't it communicate
with you, and it can't articulate that in any way.
Actually, we can assume that it doesn't want to die because it continues to eat. It continues to sustain itself. It continues
to
draw breath.
But it doesn't know that keeps it alive just because of that.
But it's instinct. I don't know.
I feel like it's hard to even go there without making a lot of assumptions.
I think animals definitely complicate the conversation, but I don't think it changes what I was saying earlier.
And
like children.
I mean, my thing is, you have two people that are disagreeing, so who's correct? Or it's subjective.
My opinion is that you can never determine which one is truly correct.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just based on personal, you know, like, not your opinion, but, like, how you feel about things.
Yeah, because if someone can give you the permission to kill them, then it's not objectively wrong to kill that person. But if they don't want you to kill them and you kill them, that's objectively wrong.
I don't agree or disagree. Well, I do disagree, but I also don't think it's relevant. I think it's completely meaningless whether it's objective or subjective. Yeah.
That the natural... I don't think it changes the natural rights question.
No, we have this understanding, or Americans in general, and I think it probably stems from religion, where if something isn't objective, then it's somehow less valuable than what is subjective. And the best example I can think of.
I think people are just confused about that with religion, but I'll explain.
I think the best example I can think of is in the context of nihilism, where I argue that life has no meaning. Life has no objective meaning. And they're like, oh, that's such a terrible thing to say. I'm like, but it's not. Life has plenty of subjective meaning. My life matters to me. It matters to the people around them, around me. But that's completely subjective. And it doesn't matter that it doesn't, that my life isn't going to matter to people 10,000 years from now or once I'm dead or whatever. It matters to me right now. And that's where the value is. I don't need a God to come along and prescribe my life with some sort of objective meaning for my life to have meaning.
I would agree with that. I don't think that changes what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying that I don't think it makes any difference whether something is subjective or objective. To me, the value is there. Regardless,
I think that the idea that morality being objective comes from religion is just a confusion because people think that, like, oh, God says gay is wrong. That means gay is just objectively wrong because God said it's wrong. But that's not the thing I'm saying. If I was giving an exact act is always wrong, then I would be saying, like, murdering someone is always wrong. But if they want you to, then it's not wrong. It's objectively wrong to do what somebody doesn't want you to do to them, to initiate force. And
right.
I would say that's objectively true.
In the context of this statement, I'm certainly not saying that you say murder is objectively wrong. I feel like it would be disingenuous for someone to interpret that statement. Well, maybe someone wants to be murdered. No, objective doesn't necessarily mean 100% true all the time, right? It means coming from a source outside of oneself. Effectively, it's the subject that makes something subjective.
And I do think that that's why natural rights are objectively exist, because they come from something outside of yourself. That, I'm not saying that it's God. If I knew what it was, then I would tell you. But some people call it God. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it a state of being human.
Anything else, Elkaneha?
Yeah, I mean, if I can push back on a little bit of that. The reason I say that no one has the right to initiate force or fraud against other people is objective. Maybe not the application of that rule. That kind of gets muddy, and that's where people have to negotiate with each other.
Well, if it's objective, what objective thing creates that? Because it sounds like it's just people agreeing on that, which makes it subjective.
Well, the objective part, the reason it's objective is because it's basically a neutral statement. What would be subjective is someone saying, no, that's not true. I do have the right to initiate force or fraud against you. Then you'd have to establish, well, what makes you better than me or more equal?
No. Being subjective doesn't make it false. No, me saying that's not an objective statement doesn't mean the statement is false, right? It just means it's a subjectively true statement. So it goes right back to the thing about the meaning of life again, right? It isn't false to say that life is meaningless just because the meaningless I get from life is subjective. It just means it's subjective.
The application of asserting that no one has those rights, or the interpretation by the individuals, that can be subjective. But objectively, no one has the right to initiate force or fraud against others.
Can I ask you why are we even so freaking focused on this conversation about objective versus subjective? What difference does it make whether your right whether you have the subjective right or the objective right to do anything?
I think it
doesn't change anything.
People want to say that it came from the government. And anytime somebody says that it came from something, then that means that person can take it away. If the government gave me my rights, then the government can take it away. And I'm not saying you're saying
right.
that, but it's usually how it came up. Like yesterday,
but that
the
has
conversation,
nothing to do with subjectivity or objectivity. That's just a source question.
It does. Like, the source is important. The source is like, it exists without human subjective observation of it. And,
right.
and somebody might say that makes it come from God. Somebody might say that just comes from the universe. Somebody might say that comes from the state of being human. That doesn't really matter. I don't think it just matters that it doesn't, you can't come along and change it. You can't come along and say, no, actually I get to do this to you whether you like it or not, because that's not an objective truth, it's subjective.
See, I don't think, but again, it doesn't matter whether it's subjective or truth or not. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether it's objectively wrong to attack you or whether it's subjectively wrong to attack you. to me, the entire verbiage could be completely changed to eliminate objectively and subjectively from the conversation entirely, and we would still have exactly the same statements. I would still have exactly the same rights, whether it's a subjective right or an objective right. I still have the right. I think we should just eliminate the objectivity and subjectivity of the conversation entirely.
I think it's important not to, because people could say, like, oh, well, in this community we have over here, 99% of the people believe that it's right to X, like, you know, kill people, rape women, whatever, and that means it's okay. And then, like, you know, the people start just thinking it's okay because, well, this many people decided it. If it, like, democracy is a subjective type of thing, like, 99% of the, or 51%
well,
of the people
exactly
says
what
all
you
right.
argued, though. That was
no,
exact, you said 99.9% of people, whatever, don't want violence done to them, and that makes it true.
No, I said that I think people know for sure that they don't want to be aggressed against, and I'm not going to take the example of crazy people. Well, I like being stabbed. Well, that doesn't make it okay for other people to be stabbed.
But you're calling these people crazy, and you just laid out this example of 99.9% of people or whatever who say our 99.9% say it's okay to rape people. By your definitions, that means they're objectively right.
Because I'm not saying that the majority is the reason it's not okay. I'm saying that I'm not going to accept, like, oh, 100% of people don't believe that, so therefore you're wrong.
Well, if 1% of the people like being, if 1% of the people are into S&M or being stabbed, that is consensual, that is voluntary, and that.
Yeah, if it's consensual with them, I'm just saying I'm not going to accept, well, these people like being stabbed, so therefore you have to take, or be stabbed too, or you should be fine with being stabbed too. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no, that would violate other individuals who don't like being stabbed or are not in S&M. It's,
that's what I'm saying.
A universally applicable standard. Because
but wouldn't that make it subjective, though?
It's a universally a universally applicable standard. That's exactly he said it perfectly.
Unless 99.9% of people feel differently.
No, it's not that. You're taking what I'm saying exactly as
example.
I'm not saying. I'm
you
saying I'm not the example I'm not accepting. Yes, I'm not saying that
it's
is
the consent that makes it objective. The consent makes it objective.
And again, I don't know why we're fixating on this discussion. I don't think it's relevant whether whether my rights come from government or God or the universe or whatever. I still have them and I'm claiming them, and that's all there is to it. To me, the source of these rights just doesn't matter.
Well, you know, like that guy that yesterday said slaves don't have rights because they can't claim them. They can't. They don't have a gun, and the person who's is against them has a gun. I don't care. I think that it's objectively wrong to enslave a person against their will.
I think it's subjectively wrong to enslave a person against their will. I don't think it matters, though, whether I still think it's wrong, just as strongly as
why,
you think it's
how
wrong.
Could it be wrong if that man who's...
Because I've decided it's wrong.
Well, then, I mean, I just don't accept that. Like, it doesn't really matter.
We disagree on whether
because
they're subjective or objective.
You could just subjectively decide that I can't have brown hair. It doesn't matter to me. That's what I'm saying. Like, I have the right to have brown hair.
Okay. I'm not challenging that right.
But I'm not saying you are. I'm giving an example.
And that's...
I just brought up subjective and objective almost as a throwaway line, but you guys sure ran with it. Anyway, thank you.
It's just one of my favorite topics.
I like it, too, but...
I mean, natural rights, specifically.
I mean, to me, the moral compass is very much a personal thing, and everyone has different morals and different ethics, and it's a very much subjective thing. That's just how I feel about it.
I think preferences are subjective, because I might not want to be gay, or I might not think I should be friends with people who are gay, that are gay. But it's still wrong for me to stop someone else from being gay. That's not true of me. I'm just giving an example.
I want to move on from the discussion. We have the situation on the line from Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. The situation?
Yeah, good morning. I was listening to a previously recorded show of yours because I'm on delay or Big Daddy.
Yeah, we've told you. You don't have to tell us that every time you call. Just talk about whatever you want
to
talk about.
Listeners, where I'm coming from, the people out there listening. Days ago, you guys were talking about some lady that was in her home, and she got arrested and put in protective custody and not charged with anything, but apparently the cops didn't think she could take care of herself after she saw a car accident.
Was this the DUI case where they tried to... they gave her a breathalyzer and tried to charge her with a DUI?
Yeah, but it was in her own home because a car accident happened outside her house. The cops came to ask, like, hey, did you happen to spot this car accident? Did you see what happened? And while they were talking to her, they pried for more information. They said her house looked too dirty, and they made her do a breathalyzer test because she was acting strange in her own house.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Portsmouth.
New Hampshire?
Exactly. Yes, that was in New Hampshire.
And the police chief quit over it.
I bet he did.
It was a woman.
Well, I bet she did.
Yeah, well, she was doing other sketchy things, allegedly.
She's like, you know what? I quit if I'm not allowed to do sketchy things.
That's insane. Hold on. I want to make sure, because I wasn't here last week because I was tired. I want to make sure I understand this correctly. So there was an accident in front of this woman's house.
Yeah.
Right? And the police go up and knock on her door and say, hey, did you happen to see this? And they're like, man, your house is messy and you seem drunk. Take a breathalyzer test. Oh, by the way, you're under arrest.
Yep. It was,
well, they didn't arrest her. They, like, put her in protective custody.
Yep.
Isn't...
But it's still crazy.
Hold on,
it's like detaining someone versus arresting someone.
Okay, right. But,
like, you could be a danger to someone or yourself, but it's still wrong.
Your liberty and your freedom was taken from you.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So what was the next? What happened next in this?
They had to release her because she didn't do anything wrong.
Like, she stayed overnight and went home and she wasn't drunk anymore.
Really?
Was she drunk when they got there?
I think she blew. So what happened was, I think she took the breathalyzer, and some of the details are muddy because obviously it's been a little bit since I've read this story, but I believe she took the breathalyzer in her house, blew over the legal limit.
But she's in her own home.
Exactly. Yep. So to try to prove, like, were you driving the vehicle? Are you the one that crashed that car? I'm assuming it wasn't her car that was crashed. It probably wasn't registered in her name.
Oh, was she the one who crashed
the car? No. It was just the other people. They came to ask her if she witnessed it so they could give her more information.
And then it seemed like they were trying to accuse her of, because why else would they give her a breathalyzer? You know what I mean? Unless we thought that she was driving. You're allowed to be drunk in your own house.
Yeah.
And typically when you put somebody in protective custody, or if somebody's too inebriated out in the wild, like out on the streets on Hampton Beach, and you either would take them back to their house, you know, have called their parents, something, and then last case scenario, you're going to bring them to the police station so they can sober up, whatever, the hospital. If she's already in her home, why do you need to take her out of her home? She's already at home. She's safe. She's fine.
Well, her house was dirty.
So?
That was suspicious.
You're allowed to have a dirty house, too. That's not against the law. You can be a hoarder if you want.
The whole thing is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Did the people who were in this accident, they like hit and run or whatever?
I think so. I think they fled.
But they left the car?
I mean, obviously, I guess they left the car.
They didn't throw it in their pocket and walk away, right? So it's crazy. I hate I missed this because that sounds crazy. And it's unbelievable that happened in Portsmouth. But
Ridley called and told us about it.
But the police, so what were your thoughts about it, the situation?
Well, the cops' ego and judgment got in front of them. And that's probably why this all went down like that, was the ego and the judgment. You know, I'm this guy or that guy, or whatever it is. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight. You're absolutely right. And it's good to be mindful of ego and... It's bad when your cops are egotistical, because all sorts of problems like that that come about is them just not being able to say, hey, I was wrong.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. The victims of this week's deadly bank shooting in Louisville, Kentucky, are being remembered. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear among the speakers at this evening's community-wide prayer vigil.
What we need right now, in one word, is love. in a world where we hear a lot of arguments, a lot of anger, where people try to appeal to hatred and division. How about just love?
Five people were killed, several others injured, including two police officers. Tennessee Democrat Justin Pearson is headed back to the State House. The Shelby County Commission voted today to reappoint Pearson back to the seat he was removed from last week. Inflation is slowing down in the U.S. The latest Consumer Price Index report from the Labor Department says inflation slowed to 5% in March, down from February's 6%, with prices for both gasoline and groceries falling. Year over year, however, consumer prices have risen 5%. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You're invited to take control of the airwaves, 603-283-6160, if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is Aria, Bonnie, and Nikki. And we were talking about NPR and what's going on over there. And they're refusing, evidently, to go back to Twitter. And PBS is making the same stand because they were, quote, according to NPR, falsely labeled as state-affiliated media. And that's obviously not true. They're obviously affiliated with the government. But I want to move on to this other story about this GOP legislator who called transgender people mutants and demons during hearing. And again, I don't like bringing in like anything to do with like trans people and stuff, because why would I want to talk about that? But this is funny enough, but I just couldn't resist. A Republican state lawmaker in Florida called transgender people demons and compared them to mutants from the X-Men universe during a legislative hearing on Monday. And the irony, I wish it wasn't lost on this guy, because one of the key themes of the X-Men is that it's okay to be different and you shouldn't be judged or treated like crap because you're different. That's literally the point of the X-Men from beginning to end. This was state representative in Florida, by the way, the second freest state they like to claim. On Monday, he likened transgender people to, quote, mutants from another planet, while arguing in favor of a bill that would make it a crime for transgender people in Florida to use public restrooms consistent with their gender identity. And this is such a huge conservative, Republican, non-liberty thing. These public restrooms they're talking about, they don't exist. Almost universally, there's no such thing as a public restroom. There are privately owned restrooms that are open to the public, but very, very few public restrooms. Like, maybe the restrooms at your courthouse count as public restrooms?
Yeah, or like the town hall or something like that, but I'm assuming at...
I'm assuming they mean the bathrooms at the Walmart and the Target and all of the and the gas station
so
and stuff. And those are not public.
Well, and that would be up for Walmart or Target to decide.
Yes, but see, you know, because they're not libertarians, they don't care anything about property rights, and they are more than happy to just run all over the property rights of these business owners in their legislative spree to create their religious conservative nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, I would even go as far to say that if the Walmart and Keene wants to be like, no, trans people aren't allowed to use their, you know, the bathroom that, I you know, matches up with their gender identity, Walmart should be able to say that. Do I agree with it?
Yeah.
No. But if I disagree with it enough, I will just stop shopping at Walmart.
But if they're allowed to choose that, you can choose, not to shop there, like we talked about with Fritz earlier.
And I suspect that most of these companies would not choose that because it's bigotry. Is it financially rewarding?
No, it's not a
sure,
good look.
The MyPillow guy, he's probably doing okay, right? Like, he's not broke. But how much more money would, like, if Nike came out and said, you know what? Trans women aren't women. Trans women are men. If Nike came out tonight and said that, they probably sell a few shoes to some conservatives, probably. I don't know, maybe. But they're going to lose a lot more shoe sales than they're going to gain. This is why the whole go woke, go broke thing doesn't really work out in real life. Going woke, so to speak, seems to be the majority of the population and where they stand.
I mean, I've been confused this whole time. Like, do people really care? And most of the people I'm seeing post about the Nike thing specifically
are Nike?
Because Dylan, whoever, I believe her name is Dylan, was the sports bra model for Nike.
Oh, I didn't even know that. See, I knew about the beer thing.
Yeah, I know. So she also has a thing with Nike.
Okay. Did not know that.
So she's modeling. Yeah, so all the stuff.
Hold on.
Tampax doesn't make sense to me. Like, that's where I draw the line as well.
I think it's, like, strange. Like, I don't get it. But I also never thought that there needed to be a spokesperson for Tampax. Like,
yeah.
That's true. I agree with all of that. But as the resident trans person, I had to say, a trans woman has no business being a spokesperson for tampons.
Yeah, what are you going to do with it?
Well, she thinks she likes
helpful.
To carry them around in her purse to feel like, like a woman. And then
wants to do that. Who cares?
Exactly. But also give them to women if the woman ever needs one. Because she said she's seen other women do that. Like, do you have a tampon? And wanted to be a part of it.
Okay, wait, so Dylan actually carries around tampons like day-to-day?
Yeah, but not puts them inside themselves in any way.
Right, but like it's just to give them out to people? Like a little tampon fairy going around, sprinkling them around the...
That's what she said.
That's not weird at all. Let's go to the phones. We have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, just to give everybody an update, I know Sarah likes to give everybody an update on the bus schedule in Albuquerque, but I would like to give you an update on the tampon machine located in the male bathroom at the Longview, Washington Public Library, which is currently unoccupied by said tampons. We need a refill, and I'm not quite sure where to stick that either.
Question, is this actually true? Does this tampon exist in the men's room?
Well, no, I'm sorry. It's a feminine hygiene pad,
Ian doesn't know the difference either.
Well, I do. A tampon is inserted, and you better insert a pad, right?
Right.
So I understand
the
difference.
One is for the exterior, and one is for the interior.
Yes, let's leave it at that. However, I'm okay with having these in whatever bathroom. I don't care. People are going into these bathrooms to handle bodily needs. I really don't care at that point what gender they are or what bodily need. When someone goes to the bathroom, I'm not going to ask them if they need to change their pad or if they're going to poop or they're going to pee or whatever.
That's right.
Because it's not my business.
Even if it's your business, as in your building, you're probably not going to care enough. Just don't want to get the blood on the ground or whatever, so
yes.
Gonna supply the things that should be supplied.
All I know is this person has a bodily need of some description that they need privacy to take care of, so thankfully we as a society have dedicated these rooms where they can go and have these bodily needs taken care of in privacy. I totally get having feminine hygiene products in men's rooms, right? Because there are trans men out there who presumably still have to deal with periods.
Yeah.
In the same way that cis women do, because they still have the same
I guess
parts.
You're right.
So I'm okay with that.
Guess, yeah.
And not just that, but sometimes a woman will, I mean, sometimes I will just go into the men's room because it's the one that's open, and, you know.
That's a really good point as well. I mean,
well, we need to ban that, Bonnie. We can't allow that. We need some legislation.
Yeah. I've never went into a multiple. I don't think I've ever went to a multiple stall men's room.
Well,
but,
either
you know,
way,
those one stalls.
We can't allow that.
Yeah, we need more GOP bathroom police out there with their armbands so we know who they are. And
you have to give ID to go into the bathroom.
You're gonna get what?
Right.
Show
you're
ID.
Gonna, and you're gonna need that before you because then what's gonna happen is they're gonna talk about you. Oh dear.
Well, you don't need just your ID.
So and so.
In some of these places like North Carolina, and I think Florida is doing this as well. Yeah, because we were just talking about it. You don't need just your ID. You need your actual birth certificate.
Because
you can get your ID from New Hampshire that says whatever. But that's not good enough. Like, if I went to Florida with a female ID, that wouldn't be good enough for them.
All right.
To use the bathroom? For what?
Yeah.
To use the bathroom in the women's room.
But
they could still charge me.
Are there people actually in there waiting, or would they just call the cops if they suspected somebody wasn't a woman and was in the women's room or whatever?
I don't know.
How far would
they want to push this, right?
How much money does it cost to staff security for the bathroom?
Yeah.
Well, presumably they would have to call the police. Tennessee,
yeah.
I think it was, some other state recently passed a law that's very similar to this, and theirs was a little bit different in that you had to be asked to leave the bathroom. And then if you didn't leave, then someone would call the cops, and you could only use the bathroom that was consistent with the sex that you were at birth or something. They based it on whether you had eggs or not, was how this state did it.
So what if you have a hysterectomy?
Like if your reproductive role is to be the one who supplies the egg, you're supposed to use the women's
chromosomes, whatever. Yeah, after.
I've never had, like, some kind of, like, an x-ray or whatever to see if I have them, and I've never gotten pregnant.
You are the egg master.
So who knows if I have them? Ew.
You have eggs. We need them.
Ew.
Yeah, it's all very weird, and thank you so much for the call tonight, Chuck. And to me, it's just a matter of government has no business being in this area.
Who cares? And it just gets very, very problematic, because I'm friends with some trans chicks that when I found out they were trans, I was genuinely shocked. Like, a lot of people that are trans, and, you know, I know a lot of trans men who, they have beards, like, they look like dudes. I would not know the otherwise unless they told me. So it gets very problematic when you have men going, you know what I mean? Like,
if Brooke Shields walks into a woman's room, somebody could just be like, she doesn't look like a woman to me because she looks so different than the average woman, but she's, you know, as far as I know, according to, like, Wikipedia, a woman.
That trans man named Buck, the really muscular guy, can you imagine him going into a women's room?
That's what
I'm
saying. That person.
You know, like, so it's like, let's just let people use the bathroom that they identify with, and I'm sure, I just don't think this has ever been an issue, so I don't know why they're making it an issue.
I mean,
you know?
Maybe at some point somewhere out there is claiming to be trans so that they can gain access. It's like they think the women's room or the... And it's always the women's room. They're not concerned about trans men going into the men's room here. It's always in the other direction. But I think about these... It's like they think the women's restroom is like just this magical fairyland where...
Yeah.
Where
pillow fight.
Yeah. They don't seem to know that it's literally just a bathroom.
Yeah, it's the same as the men's room.
But I know a trans man, and I think I was the only one who realized that he was a trans man because I think I've developed Transdar, which is like gaydar, but for trans. So I knew this person was trans, but no one else did. And it's this person, you wouldn't know that he was trans. You just wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, like when Nikki said, I know lots of trans men, I was thinking, I don't know any. And I was like, maybe I do. I don't know.
And if he walked in, it's easier to be female to male as male.
Yeah.
But if he walked into a women's room, it would get attention.
Yeah, like that would be a problem.
Yeah. And that would make the women in the restroom tremendously uncomfortable, presumably.
They don't, and despite popular belief, most people don't care what sort of parts you have, you know, or what you were born as. That's not really...
Plus, they have stalls, right?
Like, yeah, like it's not...
It's not like everybody's naked in the washing hands area.
Yeah, I would suggest that this is all the more reason why we as a society should just get rid of urinals and just have the stalls. Or put stalls in urinals, if that's what you want to do. Or put stalls around urinals. Because that sort of solves the problem. When you go into a restroom, women or men's, there's a stall there that provides you with privacy. And I've never gone into a bathroom stall and I'm like, man, I sure hope the person next to me is a certain gender.
Yeah.
You just kind of don't want them to look at you at all, right?
Yes, you do your best to not think about the other people there. Mm-hmm. And they're doing their best not to think about you.
And I'm sure the average man probably isn't like, oh, it's fine. I see him looking at me, but I see that he has one too. So I'm fine with it.
It's all very peculiar, and they're expecting, like, gas station workers and stuff like that to enforce these laws, and I've gone all over the United States, and I've dealt with a lot of trans people who are really worried about these sorts of things and are worried about gas station workers getting upset and calling the police or whatever, but look, that dude makes minimum wage. He doesn't care about what you're doing. When you go in there and you say, hey, I'm trans and I want to use the women's restroom, is that okay? You're just giving this poor minimum wage worker a headache. Just leave. He doesn't want to go viral on YouTube for being transphobic. Just leave the dude alone. Go into the restroom, do your business, and no one will bother you. And if anyone does bother you, chances are pretty good that you bothered someone first. Because almost everyone, I've never seen anyone go to a bathroom for any reason other than some bodily need. Maybe they do, but it's not somewhere you want to hang out.
No.
I mean, there are creeps out there, no doubt. But anyway, back to this guy, Representative Webster Barnaby, who on Monday likened transgender people to mutants from another planet, which again is just a fascinating misunderstanding of the topic, because X-Men is literally about accepting people who are different for their differences and, like, not making them go to a special... Not discriminating.
Wait.
The whole freaking plot of X-Men!
Never seen any of them.
So you don't have superpowers?
I do not,
unfortunately. You can't, like, fly or teleport or anything like that?
No, I'm probably underpowered relatively to the... I wish I could fly. That would be fantastic. I mean, if I could have a superpower, I think flight would be up there with one of the preferred ones. Obviously...
I agree. I mean, you could travel anywhere quickly without going to the airport, and it just seems scary to land yourself.
I want to teleport.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's a lot better.
But then flying, you get the experience, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that does sound pretty fun.
The experience, and also, like, if you just wanted to fly over a house and see what was on the roof or whatever.
I think, okay, if I had to pick a superpower, it would probably be, like, super strength. Like, I'd want to be, like, a Wonder Woman type of...
I thought about super strength as well. And look, I've given all of half a second of thoughts to this when I said I would like to have flying. So it's not like I've given any considerable thought. That's an interesting question, though. What about you, listener? 603-283-6160. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I think Mark answered invisibility. Or was it mind reading? He answered it on the show.
I don't like either of those ones.
No, they're too ripe for abuse, man.
Those are bad answers.
Mark is a bad person. I've been trying to tell everyone. The snobby. Wants to read your mind.
Yeah, I feel like there's no way to use invisibility in a good way. How could you possibly use that for good?
I can't remember for sure, but he said, I remember I was shocked by it, because it wasn't one of the ones, like, lying.
Yeah, it wasn't a cool answer. It was like, oh, yeah, you just want to, like, spy on people or something. I always just think of, like, Frodo from The Lord of the Rings.
With the ring. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the ability to freeze time could also be really helpful, but, like, that would have to have a lot of limits on it, I would have to spend 30 minutes probably describing exactly what those limits would have to be and stuff, because otherwise I just, you know, freeze time and, I don't know, just live forever in the void playing video games or playing music or whatever I wanted to do.
Hmm.
I think off the top of my head, flying is the safe bet and the one that I would most likely use on a day-to-day basis. Because not having to drive, as Bonnie mentioned, not having to take airplanes. Would I have to have an FAA license, I wonder?
I wouldn't let them catch me to find
me. Fair point.
Right, yeah.
I mean, well, how fast could you fly?
No, I don't know.
At least as fast as the fastest jet, because otherwise it would be pointless.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, flying, good, but super strength, you mentioned, that's also a really good one, because I can, or super speed, either one of those. Well, if I can fly, I don't need super speed, right?
Yeah, I'd say
I could just fly.
Because you could fly overhead to your house closer, or faster than, like, someone's super speed on the ground, not running into people.
Right, maybe I could just flash myself back to the house and, you know, get there in half a second, and I could fly there in 20 seconds.
But at that point, you might as well just teleport.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, changing anything into a different metal or chemical. That one's great.
What's that one?
That's interesting.
Changing anything you want into a different metal or chemical.
Okay.
I wonder what that would be called.
You can have whatever drugs you want. Transmutation?
Yeah. Oh.
That's a very lucrative one. It's like, I just turned all of this grass
into
marijuana. Yeah.
Like here, there you go. I see where you're going with that. Like, here's this water. Oh, no, it's LSD.
Yeah.
Whatever shall I do? Okay, I like that one. Transmutation, that's a good one. Is that the one you would go with?
No, I just thought of it.
If you were the only person with a superpower, you would be set for life anyways. I was going to say you could solve all the world's problems and set yourself up for life with transmutation by just...
I could also... accidentally devalue gold.
Yeah, but only if you were crazy about it, right? Like if you're just, all right, well, here's my 45 pound of gold that I magically found, and no one's going to question that. And you have this 45 pound of gold. Yeah, you're going to devalue it to an extent, but you're still going to be not a billionaire, but you're still going to be set for life.
The other thing you could do is, like, if you're getting pulled over, turn your cocaine quickly into something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, or turn the cop into something else.
Yeah, that's even better.
The water in his body. Okay, that one goes too far, probably.
Oink, oink, piggy.
Turn into bacon grease.
All really good ideas. I like transmutation. I think I want to change my answer, you know? Anyway, teleportation is also good. There's all sorts of superpowers. I want to know what you think. 603-283-6160, because Barnaby has missed the point entirely. It's like watching an X-Men movie, Barnaby said during Monday's hearing in the Florida House Commerce Committee. Now, this was an actual hearing in the Florida State House in one of their committees. This dude said this stuff. It's like I'm watching an X-Men movie, but presumably he didn't catch what the plot was of the X-Men movies. Bonnie, you say you've never seen them, but it's a central theme of the X-Men as a whole, right? That you can't get away from it in the X-Men, just like you can't get away from justice in the Superman comics and movies. It's always there. It's prevalent. It's the underlying theme that ties it all together, and that's being against discrimination in the X-Men, it's too simple to say it's against discrimination. It's about accepting others for their differences.
And you'd be a messed up person if we lived in the world of the X-Men and you were just like, that freak has those Wolverine hands or whatever, instead of, like,
those are plot points that come up quite a lot. Like, one of the X-Men movies was about the U.S. government saying, hey, you know, these people are different and we have to, I don't think they wanted to round them up and put them in camps, but they wanted to effectively do that. They wanted to have laws that treated them differently because they're freaks of nature or whatever.
Same thing in The Incredibles. The government makes it illegal to be super.
Wow, I've never seen that.
The Incredibles is the best Pixar movie.
It is a really good, as far as kids' movie goes, it's really,
really
good.
Good on, like, freedom and individuality and stuff like that.
It's like we have mutants living among us on planet Earth. Some people don't like that, but that's a fact. That might be the first time anyone, like, a mutant is... I don't think I've ever been called a mutant.
There are people who really are mutants. Like, that's what's crazy that Nikki had pointed out.
It's not, because being trans is not, by the definition, not a mutation.
Well, I mean, what is a mutation? Because, I don't know, maybe everything, maybe we're all mutants.
Like, yeah, blue eyes are supposedly mutants, so I guess we all are.
Well, those are variations. Hmm. I would say that those are variations.
And a mutation would be like an unexpected
Like a deformity.
Variation? Okay.
I would say a mutation would be, well, I guess a mutation could just be a variation.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard that the first blue eyes were a mutation. Then it just got into the gene
pool. That's how evolution just works.
Same thing with, like, red hair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, things just randomly mutate, and sometimes it's successful, and sometimes it isn't. And if it's successful, it propagates, and you get more of that thing. And then it stops being a mutant because it's just normal.
Yep.
So, but being abnormal is what makes it mutant, I guess, until it's commonly accepted. Well, anyway, I don't think I'm a mutant. This guy seems to think I am. But he goes on. This is the planet Earth where God created men, male and women, female, Barnaby said Monday. I don't know why he felt the need to phrase it that way. God created men, male and women, female.
And male and women?
I'm in a Facebook group called Of Course You Call Them Females. And the gist of this group is that the vast majority of people who call, quote, them females, they have a vibe.
Yeah.
And it's not good vibe.
You mean like when they use the term females instead of women?
Yeah.
I hate when females look at my man in Walmart.
Yeah, it's always, I don't want to say always, but a lot of the time when people use the term females, they're saying it in a derogatory way. Like they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen this.
So that, so he mentions male and women, female. Barnaby said, I'm a proud Christian conservative Republican. Dude, at this point,
you don't say.
You did not have to tell us that.
Like, you know what's the epitome of mutation? In the Bible, God made one being, male and female, one being that was male and female in Genesis. And then he noticed it was lonely, took a rib out, and created a woman.
Adam was a hermaphrodite?
Yes, and it says that. It says, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. But it was one being.
So we're all mutants.
So, yeah, the mutation is not being a hermaphrodite.
I've got to reread that when we go out to the break.
Genesis 1, like Genesis 1, 6.
I believe you, and I'm almost I'm positive you're correct, right? Because
Not 6.
I just never thought about the implication of that, that God created man and woman, but there was only one person, and that was Adam. So Adam was...
Then he noticed it was lonely.
Yeah.
So he
separated the two.
Yep.
Okay. So man didn't come first. The hermaphrodite came first.
Yes.
So I'm not the mutant. The rest of you people are. So this guy goes on. He gets worse. And it's worth talking about because this is completely unhinged. It's more unhinged. Well, I don't know. Kid Rock shooting the beer cans because they triggered him is pretty unhinged. So I don't know. It's not a competition.
I don't know. He didn't call trans people imps.
That's true.
That's just funny.
So what exactly did this guy say? And what superpower do you want? 603-283.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.